I'm Izzy Rock, host of Tales from the Hard Side podcast, and you're listening to the Bad Parenting Podcast. Go rate, review, and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher.
Warning, the following auditory experience may contain themes of an adult nature. The opinions expressed are those of the podcasters and not of their respective employers, parents, and or legal guardians. Content may not be appropriate for children, small animals, work, and your mom. Enjoy the show. Diabetes.
Fucking pussy babies need to toughen the fuck up.
Of course, double stuffed.
I do like apples.
Oh my fucking god, I shit myself.
Was I supposed to do show prep?
This could be a while.
Tough face smash.
Bad Parenting Podcast, we're all up in your mom.
I always swore I'd never beat my children.
I'm drinking some milk with cheese.
We had gummy cheese. No, no way. Nothing ever gets done in Hollywood.
Oh, awesome.
If only you could see the glare.
Hey, I'm Justin. No, that doesn't work either.
Oh my god, the smell. I hope you're ready for a clusterfuck of epic proportions.
Love your children while keeping your sanity. This is the Bad Parenting Podcast.
Welcome to episode 95 of Bad Parenting Podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Jody.
And that wonderful Christmas intro we had is currently the kids' favorite album to listen to. We play it all the time in the car. I get requests for it all the time.
How can you stand to listen to it?
It does not bother me at all.
I can't stand it.
What, for me, I'm not listening to the music so much as I am listening to the hysterical laughter, especially from Trent.
I know.
Because Trent is in the background just dying. Like, he's like gasping for breath. And that to me is better than anything that I listen to here. So for anybody who's interested in listening to this wonderful album, perhaps playing it Christmas morning for their family, it is called All I Want for Christmas is a Goat. And it's actually done by a charity. And what they did, it's some sort of a, I don't remember the name of the group, but it's like one of those, like, you know, charitable organizations that takes care of animals.
Ah,
and so they did it and they put it out there, and you know, you can buy it and all the proceeds
are, I'm actually glad to hear that, because the first thought I had is, who would take the fucking time to do that?
Sweden.
And Swedes. Why?
I'm pretty sure it's Swedish.
And so knowing that it's for charity, and I get that, I actually much more understand it now.
Right.
So, I'm actually.
So that's what it is. It's and I'm pretty sure it's either Swedish or like Norwegian. It's whatever it is. It's one of the frostier climates up north there. I looked it up the other day, and then there's an intro and an outro that in the language that I don't understand. It's not English, so I'm not, you know, it's not good old. It's not good old American, so you know. Therefore, it's not real. So,
being out in the cold air is making my voice a little gruffly. So sorry.
A little gruffly.
Gruffly.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. We're podcasting from Hoth again.
Actually, I'm not cold. Like, you were like, buckle right. up, grab your parka. And I'm like, actually.
I took the chill out of the air because I got the little oil-filled radiator going.
I'm just saying.
It took the bite. No, when I first walked out here, it was like full on, you know, like diamond nipples. I could have walked up and like cut glass of the damn things. I mean, it was pretty cold. So, and I can't, I tried running the propane heater that we have here the other day, even with a door cracked.
It's
so just, powerful
yeah.
that, no, it's not too warm, but to get it warm enough in here, you walk out, you start to get woozy. It's like, oh, the carbon dioxide.
That's what I mean. Right? Or, it's too much.
It's too much. So, yeah, we will.
Let's not kill ourselves just for the sake of a podcast.
Right. So I'd have the oil-filled radiator going. I won't bet if I left this thing on all day, like if I had remembered to start this morning like I wanted to, it would have warmed it right up in here just fine. So we could literally be, you know, like Ice Station Zebra, like the old mediocre show intro used to say. So, speaking of which, the mediocre hoodie is what's keeping me warm today. Thank you, Mr. Tomorrow.
Mine is in the washing machine that you're supposed to switch earlier so that I could wear it tonight. Switch. And you didn't. I didn't. So it's still
soaking wet. But I got a lot of other stuff done.
You did. So I'm not going to bitch too much. I called on my way home, like, what'd you do today? Like, and you're like, oh, nothing. And so I get home and I'm actually kind of pissed. Like, in the back of my head, I'm actually not like, you know, when it's just in the very, very back, like you're not even conscious of it until something gets brought up. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking around the house and you're like, oh, come look at Tempe's room. Oh, the bed's built. Oh, awesome. And I'm like, oh, he didn't sit around and do nothing.
Right.
Like,
well, no, I did. See, that's the thing is like, I spent like 45 minutes to an hour laying on the couch watching TV mm-hmm. and that will completely overwhelm my brain as far as what I did for the day, and I will feel like I accomplished nothing. I'm one of those people, if I'm sitting around doing nothing, I feel like I've done nothing, and like it's been a completely wasted
day. But you seem happier, calmer.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sure it's probably better for me to do that once in a while, but it's just not in my nature to stop.
But you still did get a lot of stuff done. You rebuilt, we moved couches and stuff.
We were given a set of free couches.
Which are really nice, and now are in the living room. So we moved the giant sectional couch that's got a big bunch of lumpy spots into the garage
for
the
comfy. Which is not where we're podcasting from. Yeah.
For the comfy pods.
But when we first huffed them out here, we just stacked them
up. Yeah, we just stacked them up, and you came out and reassembled. You probably had to move a bunch of shit before you could even do that.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So you got a lot done.
And then I built Tempe's bed frame.
And you made dinner.
Yep. So yeah, I did. You know, but like I said,
you just didn't switch the laundry so I could have my nice mediocre hoodie to wear.
This is what caused that to not happen. Warm. So, right. So
shame.
Yes. But like I said, it's just weird for me because I feel like I, you know, just that little bit of laying around, I'm like, oh God, I did nothing.
And as I mentioned earlier, I ran around for like 4.5 hours and feel like I got nothing done because I really didn't.
But you got the car back from the insurance.
I did.
That's fixed now. You get to make a formal complaint against somebody you work with because they gave you improper advice.
I know, again.
Never mind. I'm not going to go bring that up on the podcast. We'll have to talk about it later. From what I remember, he was supposed to be a problem that was going to be handled. Doesn't appear to have been done. That's all. So
it's a long story.
We don't have to go into it here. We don't have to take it any deeper than
that. It is a long story. I didn't have to call him, but that's who I chose.
Well, no, but it's one of those things that, never mind. No, stop. Pause. Breaks. We're going to stop it.
Anyway.
I don't want that work stuff getting out here on the show. So we're just going to, scrap that there. We'll talk about it off mic.
So. Anyway, so I did get the car back from the insurance. Mm-hmm. I did get you a Christmas gift. So I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, I was going to run down to, you know, I told you about that iPhone case this morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to run back down to Ace Hardware and get that. And then I stopped. I'm like, I can't buy anything else until Christmas because I don't know what she's
getting. Because I yell at you every time you do.
Because inevitably, I will go buy something. You're like, well, now I got to take your Christmas present back again. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Well, I just wish, especially the week before Christmas, I wish you wouldn't like buy a bunch of stuff.
It doesn't register for me. If I need something, I go out and buy it. I don't even think about the possibility of getting it for Christmas or putting the brakes on or any of that crap. It just doesn't. It doesn't happen. So,
or at the very least, don't say you like something and want it.
Mm-hmm. And then go out and buy it.
And then go out and buy it. Like, buy it and be like, hey, babe, I found this cool thing that I like.
Yeah.
That's all.
The other reason why I didn't do it wasn't just the Christmas thing. It's also because I'm putting a brakes on any extra financial expenditures right now.
Yes.
A little bit of exciting news. I don't know. I don't want to jinx it, but exciting news on our part. We've got an offer in on a house.
It's just an offer. We're still waiting to hear back.
We're waiting to hear back for acceptance or not. But if that ball starts rolling down the hill, I've got to be able to pull every last little scrap of cash we have to make the down payment. Because it was just one of those things that...
Bend over. Let's see where we can find another.
Well, what it came down to was this. It literally just kind of dropped into our laps. We saw this. It's a great house. It's super cheap. Not cheap because it's like there's something wrong with it, just because it's a short sale, which brings its own set of problems to the table. But it was like, I'm looking at this And when we went and looked at the house, I walked in there, and it was, you know, when they have that instant feeling of, this is the right decision. Like, I don't get, you know me, I don't get that very often.
No, you don't.
Normally, I'm like, you know, agonizing over something forever and a day, and I've got to research it and do this and do that and dig up information. But I walked in there, and it was just like, I was at peace with everything about that place. I'm like, I could live here. I could spend time here. Like everything about it, it's smaller than what we have now, but it's a good thing because we can pare down and get rid of some of the crap we don't need. And it was just everything about it was like, okay, I need to make this happen. So I immediately came back home, filled out the paperwork with your finance guy online, and then started scrambling, trying to figure out, I need to figure out how to get the down payment scrounged up. So I got some money in savings. I got some money here. I got some money there. I'm going to pull this money together and go, here's the down payment kind of thing. But in this whole process, pro tip for anybody looking to buy a house, sell a house, get a house, whatever, don't pay attention to those dates and the contracts. You don't have to do anything with those things because they don't mean a fucking thing.
No, they do. No, no.
They give the buyer a chance to back out.
No. Every date in a contract
means nothing.
Purely stipulates who has the right to back out without penalty at that point.
Right.
That's it.
But that's a worthless... That's a worthless date.
It's not.
It is. It's a worthless date because there's no person A wants to go out and buy a house. Person B wants to sell their house. Person A says, here's my offer. Please get back to me in 48 hours. I'd like to know about this. Because perhaps, person A might have house C, D, and E to look at as well, too, or be interested.
Very common.
But B is better. And then the person takes 2 weeks to get back to him. Now, it becomes a situation of, do I wait and keep the offer? Because the buyer can then back out after that 48 hours with no repercussions, which I get.
Well, it's automatically canceled
right
at that point. Whatever expiration date you set on it, you're done.
Right.
But if the seller after that date decides that, oh yeah, I do want to sell it to you, they can tell you, hey, I do want to sell it to you. And then you have the option to agree or disagree.
Right.
That's all.
But it's still a pointless date.
No, it's not.
It is. Because the way I look at it is that...
Because it gives you the freedom as a buyer to not wait. Because before, you had to just wait till they responded or pull your offer. Now, give them a day, and then you, if they haven't responded, then you go to B house or C house or D house.
Right. But here's my point in that. That argument and that quote-unquote fix that whoever out in real estate, power land, the gods that be that control the real estate transactions, that particular correction is like the equivalent of what we have with Obamacare now. And I'm actually one who...
Continue on with your analogy.
The Affordable Health Care Act. Mm-hmm. I believe everybody in the country should be covered for healthcare. Mm-hmm. That's my own personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I believe that we should have a single payer system that needs to be regulated, not necessarily by our government, because goddamn, that would be fucked up. I agree with all that. But there's no reason why, if I get a bad injury or something like that, it should bankrupt me and put my family in financial ruins.
Right.
Which is what the Affordable Health Care Act was supposed to
stop.
Mm-hmm. Then with all the back and forth and the political stuff, blah, 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 it became this bastardized version of what it was to where we have one more health insurance option on the market, but it's still a privatized market. We have now penalties for not getting health insurance and all this other stuff. So the fixes that were outlined by all these different politicians that tacked on their shit to this bill – did nothing to actually give you what we were looking for. Well, I won't say we as a collective, because there's a lot of people who don't agree with it, what I think it should have been in the first place, which is we just need to get everybody health care. It doesn't matter who they are. We look at Medicare, Medicaid, it works. It doesn't work great, but it works, and it could be fixed if you apply that to everybody. The same thing with this. Yes, it gives the buyer a chance to back out, but it does nothing to force anybody to actually get off their dead ass and do anything, which is what needs to be done.
No. No, because you look at everything like...
It has to get done.
No. No. You look at everything as if it should be done at light speed, but these are really
48 hours isn't light speed.
These are really important financial decisions for all parties involved.
And no shit, which is why you should think about all of that before your house goes on the market. If you're going to strain that hard about whether
or not... I think we need to stop this because it actually makes me like physically want to hurt you.
Okay.
When you devolve into everybody should do it my way because it's my way and it's better.
I'm not saying that everybody should do it my way. I'm trying to explain... It doesn't make sense to me, and nobody has been able to explain it to me in a way that makes sense, that if I'm in a position where I want to purchase your house and I give you an offer, I get that you need to have time to review said offer. But if you're in a position where you're wanting to sell your house, you should be motivated enough to actually review the offer within that time frame and get an answer back, yes or no. I'd be fine with it. We're still looking at it. Can we have a few extra days? Totally cool, dude.
But,
I get it.
But
all you gotta do is say that to me.
But here's the difference. You are a motivated buyer. You want to move. You found the house you want, and you want to move as quickly as possible on this transaction. You don't know what their motivation is. They've been on the market for 2 years.
I know. And I can see why.
They don't give a flying fuck.
And I can see why they've been on the market for 2 years now, though.
But that's my point, is you're assuming their motivation is equal to yours, and it's not.
It's not. No, I'm not assuming that motivation.
Or it should be.
I'm saying something should be there to have them have to get a reply back in a timely fashion.
But do you realize that if that was the case, if you had to, like, we've given you 48 hours, you have to respond within 48 hours or you have some kind of penalty, what would the penalty be? And what, it would almost always be just a rejection then.
No, I'm saying no, because you could, like I said, for me, it's a common courtesy of, hey, I need more time. Totally cool, dude. Just talk to me. Just say something. You know, I look at it as how I view what I do with my kids. If I tell my child that you've got till now this time to do something, you need to get it done by that time. And if you don't, I just need to know why. Did you like have homework? Are you too busy? What's going on? Communication. It's a communication.
I agree with you that communication
and so that's
is appreciated. And in most cases, the agents are going to communicate better with each other.
Right.
In this case, we've done this the week before Christmas when everybody's on their Christmas vacation or whatnot. And I understand that is frustrating to you.
But for me, it doesn't.
But you have to give allowances. You have to in this industry.
I have been given allowances. A lot of them. My point is just that the allowances have been given. And for me, it's Christmas. Don't list the house before Christmas then. Boom, done, easy. Or if you're going to go on Christmas vacation, have somebody back, because you did this when we went on vacation. You had somebody backing up.
Yep.
Hey, if I'm not available during this week, please call this person. They'll help you out.
I understand your frustrations, but with a house that's been on the market for over 2 years, that has is a short sale, that is listed right before Christmas, that you know, all these things, that is a short sale in general, which take longer to get responses for in general. And she did say from the very beginning, you're going to have to give us extra time to respond.
Right.
Period. I honestly, there is nothing that they have done other than not warn us up front that they needed real signatures and not DocuSign. That was the one frustrating thing that really should have just been clear. But they have not done anything.
Well, see,
Is it out of the realm of normalcy?
Okay, they didn't list the fees on the listing, which we're fine with paying. They didn't tell us that you had to be wet signatures, not DocuSign. They aren't communicating back on a timely fashion because she's in Maui or whatever. I get all those things, but it's not how I handle my business. And it's not how I handle my business with my customers. And so you're right. I have a higher sense of expectations for customer service and what you should do in these kinds of transactions because of what I do for my customers. So it makes me a picky buyer. I get that. It's
okay to be a picky buyer. I have no problem with picky buyers. I have problems with people who, because somebody else isn't doing it the thing the way you want, you have some kind of negative feeling toward them.
Well, yeah.
And it's just not worth being
if my kid doesn't clean up the bathroom when I tell them to, I'm gonna have a negative feeling towards him. So will you. It's a normal reaction. If somebody says, you know,
but if you would come to it with a little bit of understanding and a little bit of the circumstances are strange.
They are strange, and I still just look at it from a flip side of, if I were the person listing the house, or if I were the person putting the house in the market, but if I were, and I decided to do it before Christmas, I would understand that I'm going to have to make some concessions. Like, I'm going to have to make sure I'm paying attention and responding, even though I'm quote unquote on vacation, because I'm the one that made the fucking stupid ass decision to put it up before Christmas. That's my own goddamn fault. I need to live with that. That's how I look at it. So I understand from your perspective, being in the business, this is not outside of the realm of normalcy, which is why being able to talk to you, as much as I'm sure it's probably driving you up the goddamn wall, is keeping me sane. Because if this was just me dealing with this agent, I probably would fuck the transaction over just by my own, why you need, just call me. Just even if it's a maybe, get back. Fucking Christ, you put it up before Christmas, not my problem. I want this house, get back to me. But now I can understand why a lot of these houses sit in the market for so long, because one of her comments in the listing was, well, the buyer walked because of the bank. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm sure that I know that banks and short sales take a while to respond, but bitch, you ain't much faster. So I'm sure it was a combination of the bank plus you plus your dense ass owner, and that nobody's wanting to actually put any effort into responding. So it seems that it meant, so I can see why people are walking. So just like I said, a pro tip, real estate transaction dates mean nothing except the buyer or whoever wrote the original contract can walk. And I get that, but don't make the noob mistake that I made,
but there's
walking
also
into it thinking that it means something, because it doesn't. Except for I can walk away. I don't want to walk away. I want this house.
Well, then you need, the point is, that is the point. If you want the house, then you just have to be patient.
I'm being patient. I'm being
stubborn.
If you
don't want the house, if you're in a hurry, if you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you go get a different house.
Right.
And you walk and you show, put your money where your mouth is, essentially.
Which is what I'm doing, but it doesn't mean it can't be frustrating.
I'm not saying it can't be frustrating.
I'm sorry. I also part of what I've come to realize that bothers me too about it is I see how much you bust your ass, and I see how responsive you are to your customers, and I see how much effort we all as a family make to make sure you can do that. So when you have somebody who can't do that, or doesn't do that, it's like you're in the wrong industry. I mean, you have to, it's like me going into the sales position that I'm in. It's not technically a quote unquote 24/7 job, but if I get a phone call from a frantic customer at 7:45 at night, I'm not going to not answer the phone. I'm not going to be like, sorry, dude, hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. It's Saturday at 7. And I'm going to take care of business, because it's part of the extra customer service level that we provide as a company and as a whole. And just me personally, if it were me in that position, I'd feel bad for calling the person, but I'd be super appreciative if the person answered the phone and helped me out.
Yeah.
And there's certain positions you take. When I was doing the IT work, I knew there was weekends I was going to be on call. That meant 24/7. As a real estate agent, you're kind of 24/7. You're at the beck and call of your clients, supposedly,
to an extent.
Yeah. And you have to balance it out and all that. I get that, but it's just one of those things that it doesn't feel like, and I know I'm making a lot of jumping to conclusions and assumptions here, but the transaction so far doesn't feel like they put that amount of effort into it. And it's possible they do, year round, and this is just their 1 month off, and that's fine. We just kind of got the slow month. Maybe after next week, it'll pick back up, and all of a sudden she'll turn into super real estate agent again. That's fine. But, it's just...
Not all real estate agents are created equal.
Yeah.
There's no point in putting her down or jumping the case.
I wasn't putting her down.
You have constantly.
I said that dates. I originally started off with dates mean nothing in contracts except one person can walk away from it. But as far as being an actual deadline with any meaningful bite to it whatsoever, it's not the
case. I'm not simply talking about this conversation though.
Okay, yeah, but
you have been complaining about this for days.
Right, I have. I have, because it's just once again, I would like to proceed forward with my life and planning. Okay, if this goes through, the deal, everything else, everything's done, we ink it, I need to be able to move on to the next step of, okay, I got to start planning for moving.
I completely agree. But like, there's nothing.
This limbo.
But you're. Okay.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
And I'm not saying you can't be frustrated. I just. I have been living in this bubble of pissed offness about not this
pissed
thing.
Pissed offness, frustration. Frustration.
There's okay. A bubble of frustration sounds so much better.
It does.
For days. And mm-hmm. it's just. It frustrates me.
And I understand that. You've been very patient in this whole situation. So thank you. You put up with your crazy husband. It'll only be another couple months if this all goes through. No, actually, once we have their acceptance and their signature on the deal, barring any major issues from their end, we have a guy on our side that actually responds to shit when you talk to the person, and he's handling it from there, because it's all becomes finance at that point, and I'll let him deal with all the people that don't want to respond and all that jazz, because like I said, I talked with him the other day, you know, he didn't have any new news for me, but he responded. That was great. And that's all you have to do sometimes.
I already warned him that you're an erotic asshole, so he's good. I forgot to mention that my husband's paranoid, neurotic, and kind of a dick. And he goes, okay, I can work with that. That's kind of me in a nutshell. Okay.
See, we get along just fine. And the one little thing one little mistake he made, like quote unquote, like I'm using the mistake in quotes here. I called him on it, and he realized it. Well, no, it was just one of those things that he needed all these documents, and I couldn't email them to him because they were the files were too big.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I have this semi-secure server here. I'll toss them up over on this thing. It's a very unique URL, and I emailed it to him. I'm like, here's where you can download these files from. As soon as you have a copy of these documents in hand, please reply to me and tell me you do. I'm going to pull them immediately off that server because I'm not leaving that out there for anybody to happen to come across. And, He didn't respond. I gave him the whole day. Still didn't get a response. I shot him a text. Hey, look, man, have you got those files yet? He's like, yeah, I'm reviewing them right now. Cool. Up there, delete the link off. Wake up the next morning from email. So I can't download those files. Okay. So I
said. He probably viewed them and didn't download them.
You can't view them, though. They were in a zip file. You'd have to download them.
Well, then he just fucking didn't do it right.
I know. And so I responded back to him. I said, okay, they're up there again. So as soon as he got them, because I pulled him because yesterday you confirmed you had them, and he, you know, so it's all good. But he gets shit done. He responds. He's responsive. So.
I know, and that's why I chose him. Oh my god,
that's gonna be hard.
It's okay. We have to cut this whole first section because I'm sure it's really entertaining to hear us argue about fucking real estate.
Hey, people say they want to be in our lives. This is our fucking life right now between the kids and this. We had an impromptu date night last night.
Yes, we did. The power was out. We went to my mom's for our dinner with.
Well,
my
first
grandma.
Off, we had Armageddon as far as the wind is concerned.
Yeah,
and I mean seriously, I feel super super lucky that we have lights today and a warm house. And I was able to cook dinner because there are people that are without power right now that are possibly going to be without power through Christmas due to this windstorm. I mean, it took down major transmission lines. At first, our provider was super screwed because all the main we have one big provider off all the dams we have here in the Northwest that then serve all the different power companies. Well, those main lines from that provider to our power company were severed. And so it took off the substation we're fed off of and a bunch of other ones. So they had like 10,000 of the, I want to say 15,000 customer base total they have offline. Mm-hmm. And they've been working around the clock. And though, once again, responsiveness, this is amazing. I'm on their Facebook page. I've liked it. So they've been posting responses about every 3 hours. 5 o'clock update, 6:30 update. You know, they've been doing all these things about here's where we've current restorations, current pain. It's been amazing because it's like, oh, look, it's information. And that's all people ever want. They just want to know what's going on. I came home yesterday with the kids. We originally were over at Fultano's eating lunch. Get that all said and done, which actually was one of the most pleasant lunch outings I've had with them, with just me and them, mm-hmm. in a long, long time. Ezra wasn't a dick.
Wow.
Tempe sat still.
Awesome.
Trent didn't yell.
No way.
Right. There wasn't like food flung anywhere. The only frustrating part to it was when I got there, I really had to take a crap. And every time I went to the bathroom, like I get the kids settled with food, like Ezra, I'll be right back. Run in the bathroom, there's somebody in there. There was one dude that was in there for like, I want to say roughly 30, 35 minutes.
Oh my God.
I'm like, seriously, if you're going to Al Bundy it, you need to do that at home. I mean, if you have to Al Bundy your shit, that shit needs to be done at home, quite literally. You just, you know, you don't do that in a public space. So then I heard the door open. I'm like, sweet. I go running back over there again. And then there's some little 3-year-old in there. His little legs kicking off there. And his dad's like, are you done yet? He's like, nope, I still think I got to go. And I'm like, oh, dude, I couldn't get mad at them. Like, God, I've been there. I've been there with Trent. And where he's like, oh, look, there's something on the ceiling. Oh, what's that on the floor? Like, Trent, go, are you done? Nope, I still have to poop. Well, then fucking poop. Stop looking around and just get it done already. So, as we were wrapping up our meal, the lights flickered. And all the waitresses stopped. They're like, uh-oh, here, it's starting. And then, boom, power cuts off. And then they're like scrambling, like, oh, okay. And all the customers are like, what do we do? And this one guy was like, eat them while they're still hot. Because it was a pizza buffet. Uh-huh. And then the power came back on. And then as we're walking outside, heading to the car, all of a sudden, there's that eerie silence you get.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. It's not like there's fans running outside or something like that. But like the noise just kind of changes when the power goes out.
Yep.
And I look over and the traffic lights are all off. All the stores are off. That's when I texted you. Hey, by the way, lights are out here. So we head back to the house, get here. It's all still on. Excellent. We're working. And right as I'm getting ready to toss on a video game for the kids to get them calmed down, boom, power cuts. I'm like, well, shit. And so then Trent, trying to understand this whole power. I want to play Marvel Superheroes on the PS3. Buddy, that takes electricity. Well, I want to watch a movie. TV takes electricity. I want to do this. That takes electricity too. Well, how about my leap pad? Your batteries are dead. We can't charge them because we don't have electricity. And that was the one that finally got him. He goes, damn it. And that was the final straw. So then we ended up setting up so we could go up to your mom's house early. But when we were up there, yeah, we went up there for Christmas dinner.
Yep.
Yep. And
with my grandma.
Right.
And then we were still out of power here. So I casually was joking about the kids staying the night there instead of here because we were worried it was going to be cold when we got home. And she's like, oh, yeah, that we can do that. And I'm like, really? So we ended up leaving all three kids there, which was kind of a miracle in and of itself. I don't know that has happened ever since we lived up there.
No.
So all three kids stayed there. And so we took off. And because we weren't sure if there was power here or not, we decided to go catch a late movie.
Well, I was looking at movie times. I'm like, yeah. Okay, if I go home, the power's going to be out. We're not going to have anything to do besides each other, which is great. But normally we like to, you know, I personally like to take a shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not getting too deep here. But we only had a limited hot water supply in theory. So I'm like, okay, so let's see what else we can do here. So I'm like, oh, look at the movie times. And then I've been wanting to see the Star Wars movie because I know spoilers are going to hit hot and heavy this week.
Oh, yeah.
And so I didn't want to.
Everybody's going to give up on this whole spoiler-free thing about now.
So I decided, I'm like, okay, so then looking up the movie times, I'm like, shit, yeah, we can get down to this movie on time here, and we'll do it. And so we rolled into town, got here a little bit early, so we went and did some last-minute Christmas shopping for the kids, went and saw the movie, and then it was great, because by the time we got home, our power had been restored.
Yep.
So came home to a warm house, and, like, the kids were already up there and already taken care of, so, like, yeah, fuck it, we're going to go to bed. Then we had the whole day today, and they didn't come back to like 5 o'clock that evening.
I know. So she took them Christmas shopping for their cousins. They did
Christmas decoration building things.
Candy train things.
Ornament things, yeah.
And they did shopping and then more shopping. And then they made gingerbread, but they didn't get to the building of a house.
Right.
And they did all sorts of fun things today with them.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And I didn't really, it was one of those weird things where I just like, I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I don't have the kids. So we ended up getting like, we got an Xbox One for Christmas. So we get that set up and configured and logged in. Well, they don't listen to the show. Hope not. And so I got all that set up and configured so I would be ready to go.
Let me clarify. That is everybody's one and only Christmas gift.
Right, right. We didn't. Everybody got either. We got the Xbox One for the family, and then everybody got something to go with it, like a Lego Dimensions character or the game or controller. There was no other side. Because,
yeah,
once again,
it.
This disposable income, as far as needing down payments for a house goes, here we are.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, we did that, and then you had your work stuff to do today, which ended up part of it being completely invalid because you did it...
Yeah, incorrectly.
Incorrectly, because somebody told you to do it incorrectly, which is the most frustrating thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
No, but I'm just saying, I know that from experience, where you are like, okay, you know what, I don't want to fuck this up. I'm going to call somebody who's supposed to know more than me.
Which is really the only...
Who I've been told is my mentor... Hey man, how do I do this? Oh yeah, do this. Then you do it, and it's all wrong. You're like, yeah, that didn't work. Oh, well, I forgot about that in this particular clause. You know, and
he also told me to do something that's totally illegal, not unethical, just totally illegal. Right. Not unethical, but illegal. Yeah. As a record keeping measure, he told me to photocopy money.
Oh no. Yeah.
I'm like. You can't do that. Like, that's a big no-no. Like, a giant. Right.
There are actually, nowadays, there are some copiers and scanners that will actually,
they have a flagger.
They have a hotline to the FBI. Yeah. Like, you know, you'll have the black suits knock on your door pretty fucking quick if you try to do that.
Yeah.
So, another pro tip, don't try to use any fancy color photocopiers to copy money, because you'll have somebody knock on your door.
And I already knew that. I was like, no, I can't do that. Right. But then I found out that I can't do any...
Anyways, the whole thing.
It was frustrating, but it's not insurmountable. It's not a big deal. It just means
you have to repeat the process tomorrow, but differently.
Yeah.
Which, that's for me, that's always the most frustrating thing from a work standpoint, is that, especially if I spend time to go out of my way to not have to repeat myself or do the work over again, and you fuck it up for me, that makes it so much worse. Well, I would almost rather have not made the effort in the first place, fucked it up, and then had to do it again, because then I only have myself to blame.
Exactly.
So, no, I get it.
If I hadn't called and I'd just done it, I would just be like, fuck.
Right.
I should have called.
But only to realize that if you had called, you still haven't told to do it wrong. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's all good. But it gave me a chance. I mean, I still had to go get the car anyway. Right. So.
Get that back from the insurance company. That was all fixed up now. I got that done pretty super quick. That was awesome.
And then mom wants to take me shopping at one last store tomorrow.
Yeah.
The really fun right before Christmas store.
Right.
I want to go.
Which is fine. I don't have a problem with that, but you guys really have to curtail it in.
I know.
Because I still have my shopping last month that I need to do and whatnot. And so it's, the only problem I have when you get together is that if you guys don't take separate vehicles, you can't cut and run when you need to, and you can never get her out of the store on time.
Yeah.
And so it becomes this huge fiasco, and then I get mad, not at you, but at the situation, but you feel like I'm mad at you, and it becomes this whole fucking thing that doesn't need to become if she would just get her ass out of the store on time.
I'm driving. If we go, I'm driving.
Right.
Which gives me at least a little bit of the power, because I can be like, nope, the train's leaving.
I'm stepping the fuck out. You gotta be here with me.
And she just when it's my car, I can say no. Like what my mom does that usually eats up a lot of time is she does little tiny add-ons.
Right.
Like I just need to drop at the post office, and it goes from a hour-long trip to but a four-hour
something
trip.
Else your mom does, and she really excels at, and I haven't figured out how she does this yet, is she's literally a time lord.
Yeah.
Because she can make anything that should take 5 minutes take 5 days, yeah. 5 hours, 5 months. Something that would, like, just dropping. Somehow she can get into a conversation with the postal workers.
She can.
The most inane, boring, fucking pissed off people in the world. The people you just don't want to talk to.
But that's part of what makes her, the cool thing about her, too, is that she can talk to anybody.
There's nothing wrong with talking to anybody as long as you can control it. That's the thing, is that I can talk to anybody too, I choose wisely though as to who I choose to talk to and whatnot, because I don't want to get caught up in these stupid ass conversations about somebody's dog for fucking 25 minutes. It's like, I got shit to do. I've got things going on, you know, I've got to accomplish stuff today. So, it's always amazed me just how long she can make something take, and I do understand some of the frustrations of your stepfather as to like why he like, you know, just like, oh god, just shut up, or anybody got a gun? I can just end this right now. I don't care if it's her or me, either way it would be Dover. I'm ad-libbing a bit there, but.
Yeah, I think so. At any rate,
right. So
it's my favorite Thor to go to shop for the kids for the last.
Oh, yeah, going to Finnegan's. Nice. Yeah, it's a pretty picture of the toy story from Home Alone, And that's
Toy Store.
Toy Store. Did I say Toy Story?
Yeah.
Yes, the Toy Store from Home Alone.
Yeah.
And that's
it's like this place a lot is. Of old timey, back to basics type stuff.
Well, just the entire experience is like that Toy Store from Home Alone. I mean, it's just the whole thing is just kind of this old school.
Yeah.
And they got some cool stuff in there. So that would actually probably be perfect to do right around the time they're at the Christmas party because maybe I can cut away then. Right. I'll have Ez with me and we got a couple things I got to do with him anyways. So.
And he can keep his mouth shut generally.
Right. And that might work. So.
You know what all the kids do, though, around Christmas time?
What's that?
They want to give you hints.
Yes.
Like, out of the kindness of their hearts, because...
Or not even that. Like, Trent just straight dropped that video on you the other day that I made.
He did.
So, that was...
But I'm sorry, if you were expecting Trent to keep quiet about something...
No, I wasn't. The problem was, I have something... I was working on it. They were watching their show. Temperance snuck over, and I'm trying to minimize the window. Before I get a chance to minimize it, she sees it. What's this? And then she shouts out, Dad's got something. And she's like, that's the whole thing. And then Trent's like, I want to see. I want to. And it turned this whole huge fiasco. And I was like, all right, we're here now. So any of y'all speaks, I'm going to break your legs. And he did. He kept it quiet for over a month. He's known for a long, long time. And I don't know what cued him off the other day.
And he wasn't trying to spoil the surprise. He was just talking about it like I already knew. Like,
right. Well, he doesn't understand surprises. Right. Like, there's a surprise for you, Mom. You know, the movie. And you're just like, okay. And I'm like, because I had put together a film with pictures and video and whatnot with some musical backing of the Disney trip. So, and he spoiled it. Spoilers. So this kid, if he keeps that up, he's going to be hated and when things get older.
Yeah.
Because, that was no fun.
Tempe had to take me in her bedroom and tell me what she got for everybody.
She's starting to be super sneaky now. I noticed that because previously she used to be loose lips.
Yeah.
And then before that it was Ezra.
Yeah.
So eventually they do grow out of it, it seems.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, she's getting into the gift giving spirit. She's more excited about the gift she's giving to people than the gift she's getting, which is nice.
Yeah, it's cool when your kid can do that on their own and when you're not like forced and like, don't be a fuckhead. And, you know, it's not about what you get. It's about what you give. And for me, it's not even that. It's just about, you know, I
like to find the perfect thing.
Right.
You know, that makes somebody light up, but I don't.
I really enjoy this time of year because people get nice.
Yeah.
Usually. Generally speaking, if you're not at the stores dealing with the crazy shoppers,
people
are cheerful. They're nice. They want to say hi and hello. They're not even hi, hello, but they want to, they're just more cordial to each other and people are a little more aware of each other. And that's kind of cool. I don't like this time of year because of all the hubbub and the back and forth about whether it's Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays versus Hanukkah versus Shaka Khan versus whatever.
Some people have gotten really, really militant about their Merry Christmases.
Right.
Like, they say it, like, are you going to say it back? Like, it's really weird.
Well, and I think a lot of it stems from that wannabe Fred Durst video where he was talking about, oh, I made Starbucks say Merry Christmas by saying my name's Merry Christmas. Fuck the fucking liberals. Oh my God, dude. Shut up. And I never understood it. Even back when I was a like quote unquote devout Christian or whatever, if somebody said Happy Holidays to me, right back at you, buddy. No, BFD. What the? Why do I have to get offended at whether you choose to say Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays? And I've come to realize it comes from this. The people that do it, they're like, you know, they have like this, they, like, we own this holiday. And it's like, actually, you dumbass, you stole this from a pagan ritual from way back when.
But even
and
then,
you just reconvened it into this.
And I don't even think.
Christ, your savior, wasn't even born in December, you fucktard. That's not when it was happening. So, but, and so it's like they try to claim ownership over this holiday. They want to sink their teeth into it. Like, no, this is ours. America was built on Christian principles. And America was, it's like, no, America was built in the fucking Constitution, you mook. All right? Figure that the fuck out and shut up. It was also built on the fact that yes, you can have these goddamn things, but if I say Happy Holidays or Happy Hanukkah to you, I'm Jewish or whatever, that's perfectly fine because guess what? Religious freedom, motherfuck. And so it's that aspect of this part of the year. I was like, God, shut up. And then if you're gonna sit there and get pissed with my kids about that, it's not gonna happen. I'll jump your shit sideways pretty fucking quick. If they want to say Merry Christmas back, that's fine. If they don't, that's totally cool too. You just, everybody needs to lighten the fuck up a bit and just move on and not get so damn up in arms over this stuff. And God forbid anybody says, like, you know, hello Allah or whatever, because then everybody just loses their goddamn minds. So it's a frustrating time of year from that perspective. And it's weird to try to balance that with all the cool stuff. Like, you know, I remember being a kid with like, lights and all the tree and all the smell of the pine and all the cool stuff.
I went to the mall yesterday.
Yeah, and then that's what I was going to say. Then you become an adult, and you have to start adulting, and shit like that happens where you're at the mall, or you're this place or that place. And
although the mall has improved, there's now booze at the mall.
Oh, nice.
They were giving free taste tests of all the Portland brewing, or Portland, what is that, Burnside Brewery?
Right.
So whiskeys and I was like, I'm down with them all now. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden I'm okay with them all.
Yeah. But I could see where that could also go south really quickly. You get enough booze.
Well, I'm a happy drunk, so no, I know, good.
But you get enough booze into some of these Christmas shoppers and somebody's liable to shank a bitch.
But it really was, tense there. Like everybody mm-hmm. was like out to.
Yeah. And see, and that's why. I have to, when I go shopping for Christmas stuff, like even for tomorrow, I've been pep talking myself internally yeah. this entire time.
I had a panic attack in Target.
Because it's too many people or what?
No, because I told you about this. I went to grab one of the fill-in gifts.
Right.
And it was $30 less than everywhere else. So right. I grabbed one and I got up to the front and realized it was the wrong one.
Right.
But they were out of the one I needed. But they made me wait to find that out. And I'm like standing at the register and like everybody's looking at me. And I'm that person. So, but they suspended it and they like did all this thing. But then I felt like everybody was staring at me. And I don't get panic attacks very often.
Right.
But it's that kind of scenario that'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I felt kind of weird there. And then she comes up to me. She's like, we don't have it at all. What I'd like to do is call around to other stores and see if they have one. I'm like,
we're not wasting this kind of time. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm like, well, can't you just do a rain check and I'll come get it
right
after the
no, that's a Christmas special. We can't do rain checks.
She's acting like, well, I don't know if we can. So follow me to this other place. So we start going down the thing and then the check register lady runs after us, like chases us down and hands her the ticket to pay because they had suspended it. But the lady that was I was following, who told me to follow her, didn't realize that I hadn't paid yet. So then she looks at me like I was trying to get away with something.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know how all this works.
You told me to follow you, right? Yep.
So then we get to the thing and she says, I realized that a bunch of the stuff that I got only works with a thing that I didn't get.
Right.
So I decided not to get the other things. And she's like, well, we're just going to call around to other stores for you. So just bring it all up here, blah, blah. I'm like, no. I just want out. I just want out now.
I'm done dealing with this.
And then they took me to the customer service line where they cut me in front of a bunch of people who then start
like, grumbling
and glaring.
Right.
And I'm like, not my fault.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, no. We'll just ring it all up and we'll do this. And I'm like, no. I just want you to take these things out, ring up these few items, these tiny items.
And be done with it.
I'll be done. I just want to leave.
I'm done with this.
I just want to leave. I just want to leave right now. Yep. And I looked at her. I go, I'm having a panic attack and I need to be done now and get out. And I start doing that crazy. Who is it?
Crazy eyes.
Sally Field from, I always think of her from Mrs. Doubtfire, right. the mom from Mrs. Doubtfire. Right. She gets that like, I have to get out. I have to get out. I have to leave now. I have to leave. And she does something like that in that movie. Right. And so it always brings that back to mind. But I'm just like, I have to go now. Like, yeah. I will walk out of here without paying for anything and just leave everything here unless mm-hmm. you do this right now and get me out of here. Mm. And they were like, okay, we're sorry. Okay. And they like did it really fast.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I've gotten to the point now when I do that kind of shopping or whatnot, I'll sit there and go, okay, listen, I know what you're trying to do is you're trying to be helpful. But I'm past the point where you're going to be able to help me out because this whole entire situation is frustrating to me to the point that I'm so fucking pissed that I'm just going to blow up. And what's going to end up happening is I'm going to blow up at you and it's going to get ugly and you don't deserve any of my hatred and this pent up aggression that I have right now does not need to be unloaded upon you. So I'm actually doing you a service by not doing this. So why don't you just please shut your pretty little mouth and do what I've asked you to do and then we'll all get out of this alive.
But see, for me, that is to tell them what's actually going on, that I'm having a panic attack, mm-hmm. that I'm having an anxiety issue, that I need to get out of here.
Right.
Makes them in my court. Like, they're like, yes, let's do that thing that you need to get done right now and solution and done. Right.
Well, I'm doing the same thing, but from a different angle.
But you're putting the fear of Justin into them.
No, it doesn't need to happen. I'm not saying I'm putting the fear of Justin into them. You are. I'm saying that I've got...
If you said that to me, I would be scared for my fucking life.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm...
You're essentially saying you wouldn't like me when I'm angry, Hulk mad. Mm-hmm. Essentially,
no, what I'm saying is what while you're trying to be helpful, you're not being helpful. So let's just move past this, please. It's just cutting out all the bullshit. It's taking the middleman out and just saying, hey, blah, 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 let's do this. Let's move on. But that's, you know, this whole Christmas shopping thing. I have to, like, do the pep talk internally. Like, you know, it's going to be crazy. You know, the store's going to be a nightmare. You don't need to go to jail this Christmas. So let's just try to make sure that you mind your P's and Q's a little bit and you don't, you know, and just don't get too uppity in the stores. But it's like the brains just leave and they become these mindless zombies that must purchase
it. Well, they're focused. They're focused on all the things they have to get done before a certain time, before right. a certain day. And they're just focused. And it's not even... I'm willing to give most people even an, I've done it, done something stupid because mm-hmm. I was focused. I mean, yesterday I almost crashed into some lady's cart. Granted, she came around the corner and it was kind of like I had the right of way, even right. though carts don't have right of way, right. but they do. They really do. Or they should.
Right.
But I almost crashed into her. I came very, very close and she kind of glared at me, you know, and I'm like, sorry. And I just kept going.
Right.
But everybody makes mistakes when mm-hmm. they're focused on stuff.
Yep. Yeah, so and that's what I try to remember is that, you know, I just this focused, as you call it, that it isn't, you know, and so it's, but the whole thing is, I think that if people wouldn't stress themselves out so much in the first place over this whole thing, then it would be less stressful for everybody involved. Because, like, if I get my kids what they want for Christmas, great, if I can find it all. If I can't, eh, you know what? It's a good life lesson for them to learn that you don't always get what you want.
Well, so I think a lot of people put to, like, too really... much on this whole magic of Christmas
right,
thing.
Right.
Our kids are pretty, I mean, we tout Santa a little bit, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's pretty obvious that, you know, Christmas's presents are provided by us and, right. and you know, whatevs. It's all good.
And we go along the whole thing. We do, like, the Christmas carols and whatnot, but, yeah. It's just
We don't do Elf on the Shelf.
No.
We don't do, you know, hoof prints on the lawn.
Right.
We don't do, you know, I think the most into it thing we ever did was eat the cookies and leave a note.
Yeah,
like,
and we still do that. Yeah. And we'll still do that, you know, if they want to bring, but we always leave it up to them. Like, we don't remind them to set out cookies. Right. If they want to, great. If they're not, no big deal. And it's just because that's, for me, that's all fine and dandy, and the Santa aspect of it's fun to do and whatnot, and can be fun and blah blah blah. But it's really not what the focus needs to be.
But think of how many hours some of these parents have to put into elves and
but that's footprints the whole point for me is like that time for me is better spent doing other things with my children. And so I choose not. And this is not hating anybody that does these things, but for me personally, I think that I can be a better parent doing other things that aren't trying to keep the magic of a fake man alive.
I don't hate on people who do it. I think some of that stuff is so cool. Like, I look at all that Elf on the Shelf stuff and I'm like, that would be so fun to do.
But it's just not realistic for me to do.
Elf donuts made out of Cheerios.
My favorite one is the one that was like, it was like a assembly line of Hershey's Kisses, and it showed them squatting over one. Like, that's and it was like a little picture of, like, you know, this is how the Hershey's Kisses made. I'm like, that's a cool fucking parent. Whoever did that. And there's the fun ones that people do, like they have like G.I. Joe torturing them with Barbie. They're going, in the background. So, but it's just, I don't know. We've always chose to be very real with our children. We don't, you know, we do the...
Sometimes just by default.
Right.
Like, I feel like, especially the Christmas stuff is more by default than by design.
Right.
We just, we're very busy parents who, our parents didn't do a lot of that stuff, or at least mine didn't.
No, mine did, but it didn't matter to me.
Right. Like, it wasn't... The things that were done didn't make or break Christmas right. for me. And I found out really young that it wasn't, Santa wasn't a, you know,
right.
a thing for our family.
Well, and for me, it was just one of those things that it didn't make or break. I enjoyed the joyous time of year and the joy, all that stuff. Right. But I'm like, let's try to, if we could try to apply this like year round.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing it like once every 12 months, that'd be kind of cool. But like I said, once again, it's not hating on anybody that does those things or gets into them, because whatever makes you happy, as long as you're not hurting other people, shit, do it. If you want to do the whole lights on thing and like, but it just, I can't see killing myself doing that. I've done the lights in the house before. I've done the lights in the trees before, but I've never gone like Chevy Chase levels and you know, Christmas Vacation, because
we've never put lights on.
No, not house. With you. Not with you. Oh, but okay. I've done it in the past, both one places I've had myself and then with my ex and whatnot. And then I came to a decision fairly quickly after that when it was expected, but no help was ever given. But I'm like, yeah, you know, unless somebody really wants it done, I'm not going to bring it up and make extra work for myself. So I just chose to opt away from doing it and to, you know, just do the tree, do the ornaments, you know, do the lights and all that stuff. We came up with a really cool pre-lit. We made our own pre-lit fake tree a couple mm-hmm. years back, which is, it's all like 5 minutes to assemble. Mm-hmm. And then we let the kids decorate it. And it's good to go. Yep. That's awesome.
Except all the broken ornaments. I'm a little pissed.
This year, well, Temperance
got... There's three.
Well, and I need to fix those for you. But yeah, she was...
I don't know which ones were broken before she picked them up.
Right, but I have to, and I have to lay some of the blame with you, because the box of ornaments should have been put away once you guys were done, or at least put up out of her reach, so that...
Well, yeah, but
the... But she's got to learn.
She's got to learn, and the reason they weren't is because we weren't done.
I know. It happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree that she needs to learn, and so that's why I don't know that it's happened since then, when I pulled her aside and had a little talk with her about, hey, you really hurt mom. And I said straight up, I'm like, what you were trying to do is sweet, but in the process, you completely boogered it up, and you really hurt mom's feelings. And I said, and that's something you have to remember sometimes, is that you can do something with the best of intentions, but if you're not capable of doing it properly and you mess it up, you can actually cause more damage.
And I also explained to her that the ones that are broken are not the end of the world.
No.
What she needs to know is there are other ones that if it had been those, it really would have bothered me. And, you know, like the one that got me is the one that happened, two years ago? No, the ballet slipper that Jake got me.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the one that I cried.
Kind of like the engagement ring down the toilet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I cried more about the ballet slipper.
That's fine. I understand.
But yeah, it's just one of those things, like, what do you do? Do you cry over an ornament that got broken, or do you just be like, yeah, whatever?
Just try to turn it into a life lesson for the children. Yeah.
Because it's not like I don't have 82 billion Tinkerbell
on it. And I've been trying to turn over this new leaf with the kids as far as not being so quick to flare up and immediately lock everything down. And it's been really, really difficult because... Like, especially with Ezra.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just, there's times. And so I've got.
Oh, and his, at least the younger two seem to have realized that mom and dad are trying to be more low key and maybe we should be thankful and understand that they could be yelling, but they're not. So we need to watch ourselves.
Right.
Ezra takes it to like a, oh, they're not yelling. I should be worse.
Yeah, I'm gonna push it some more, yeah.
So, like, oh, I haven't reached the full tilt yet. I should just keep going. Because he talks back.
Right. You know, well, the breaking point for me and for him and for the whole thing was he, once again, mouthed off to you about something, and I had just had a bite of scrambled eggs. And I swallowed it down, and this is going to gross some people out. But as soon as he got whatever it was like, it was instant for me. I mean, I went fucking new, like that little goddamn red guy off of that movie, just instant flames. And I got up in his face, drill sergeant style. I'm like, don't you ever fucking speak to her that way. And, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you get your ass back in your room. And as soon as you can be respectful, you can get your ass back out here. But I don't want to see your fucking face again until then. Blah, 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 blah. And I sent him back to his room, and I sit back down and finish my breakfast. And I think I made a comment. I just want to eat my fucking breakfast. I mean, I felt like Billy Bob Thornton from like Bad Santa. I'm on my fucking lunch break, okay? Leave me alone. So I finished, and he comes out later, and I'm talking with him about it, and I can tell that he's still amped up. I'm like, obviously you have something you want to say, so what is it? He's like, well, I don't like when you get like that and you yell at me, and I can taste what you had for lunch yesterday, because some scrambled eggs did come out and get on his face. I'm the one that wiped him off. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, you don't like that? Then stop being a petulant little asshole. And he kind of looked at me. I'm like, I'm sorry. I will do my best not to get in your face and yell anymore. But I have had it with your mouth towards your stepmother. I don't give a flying fuck about what your problems are as far as your mom or anything else goes or people in your life. She's done nothing to wrong you or despite you or anything else. She's tried to make olive branch. She's tried to make peace. You need to be more respectful in the way you speak to her. And you need to listen when she tells you to back off. Because if she's asking you to back off, it's so you both can calm down. So the situation doesn't flare up like a bad case of hemorrhoids and turn into this whole fucking scenario. And so I told him, like, if you will hold up your end of the bargain and you won't feel the fire and dump gasoline on it, I will also do, you know, hold up my end of the bargain and promise to do the same thing. And so now what I've been doing is, I'm like, oh, Ezra, you're being an asshole again. Go to your fucking room. And then he starts to like amp up and like talk back to me. I'm like, do I need to yell and get in your face again and scream at you and totally ruin the evening? Or are you just going to walk your little miserable ass back there and figure it out? And he's like, oh, I don't want you to yell at me. I'm like, then go. And so I've just been not even talking to him, not even, you know, nothing, and just send him back. I'm like, and when you're done being, you know, done being a little turd, you can come out here and we'll talk about it. And then he calms down and we talk, and it's been working so far. It appears to have been getting better as far as the overall stress level in the household goes. At least for me, I've been a lot less stressed out about everything.
It's hard for me because I don't understand what.
There's nothing to understand. You've done nothing wrong. You're just the whipping post for the aggression and the feelings he has about his mom.
Right, but I don't understand what talking like, because he could do almost anything, and I would be like, okay, whatever. I might get on his case about fixing it, but I really very rarely even raise my voice about a misbehavior. The only thing that gets him in trouble with me is how he speaks to people.
Right.
And he's had a real issue the last couple of weeks, especially about he wants to be in charge. He wants to be the rule enforcer.
Right.
And
part of that's just his age.
Partly his age. It's partly because it's stuff that you do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And he's just can't let things go. Right. He can't let things be. He right. can't, you know, move on, realize that it's not his concern and let it go.
Yep.
And first off, I think that's a very valuable asset and skill that he needs to learn.
It is.
Secondly, I just won't tolerate him yelling at the younger two kids
right.
or getting gruff with them or just being a jerk.
Right.
It's just not cool.
Yeah, and so like in that scenario, what I've taken to doing is if he does something like that, I go, Ezra, that was a dick response. Okay. And I know okay isn't the proper way to fix a dick response. Oh. Well, how was I being a dick? I'm like, see, you're being so much of a dick. A dick is so natural to you, you can't even tell when you're being a fucking dick. And then I explain it to him. He goes, oh, that's dick? I'm like, yeah, that's real. Dude, seriously, and I say it back to him. If I said that to you, what would you say? Well, you're being a dick. I'm like, bingo, yeah. Jackpot, motherfucker. You know, hello. And then I make him apologize and all that. And I've been, you know, the big thing is like the kids will do something, and before I even have a chance to jump in, he jumps in and mm-hmm. tries to fix it. And then I'm like, Ezra, you need to stop. Well, it just pisses me off when they do that. I'm like, it fucking pisses me off when you try to be their goddamn father. Shut up and go to your room. I'm going to handle them. And when I got them taken care of, I'll bring you back out here so you guys can all fucking apologize to each other. And then he'll leave and I'll jump on the kids for whatever they did. He'll come back out. They'll say they're sorry. And I'm like, now you need to apologize to them for trying to be their father. You know, and blah, blah, blah. The one point this last week where I lost it, though, is I specifically had a business call that mm-hmm. I had to make. So I did the speech that we do. Daddy is about to get on, or, you know, you do it. Mommy is, we're about to get on a call, and it's work-related. You guys need to be quiet. I need everybody to chill out. No, you know, the two kids in the back seem like, don't you guys start poking and prodding and touching each other and getting all pissed off or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And so I get on the call, and immediately one of them in the back starts talking up. So I just kind of reach behind the truck, the seat, and I pop them on the knee. Like I slap their leg. I'm like, hey. And I just point at them. And it was Tempe. She's like, oh, sorry. And she quiets down. And then Trent's like, he's looking over towards, like, he's getting ready to put his finger out. And I look at him, and he goes, pulls his hand back. And he's like, oh, never mind. So he's chill. But then he decides he needs to stretch out. So he stretches out, and he pushes on at the back of Ezra's seat. Mm-hmm. And Ezra immediately goes, and like turns his head and like glares at him, and I just whack right upside his head, and I hit him with my ring finger too. I heard, yeah, and he was, and I'm like, and then I made it on my lips. I'm like, I'm on the fucking phone, and so I finish with my customer. I guess I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Well, I just hate it when he puts my seat. I'm not even talking about you. I'm talking about all three of you in general. And we go through the whole thing, and he's like, well, he was pushing off my seat, and it made it move, and wah. And I'm like, okay. And that couldn't have waited till I got off the phone. You could have said, hey, Dad, Trent's doing this and it's really bugging me. Because I get it. It's annoying. I harp on the kids and they do that. So it's all about procedures, man. You need to learn to follow the right procedures. And one of the procedures you need to follow is if they're doing something, you can't correct it. You have to get somebody else to come in and step in for you to correct it because you're not the parent.
Or what I'm trying to teach him is there's if there's something that they're doing that is bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a legitimate concern. And it's hard to teach him what's a legitimate concern, what's not, but
we're working world, on it. There's a lot of stuff that's more legitimate than really...
Tempe has been kicking the back of his seat when we go to school, not out of... She's just wiggling.
And that's what she does.
And yeah. And it happens to hit his seat because of the way her legs are. Right. And she just needs to be reminded not to do it. But the correct way is to say, Tempe, I don't know if you realize, but when you do that, it kicks my seat and it really is irritating. Could you please stop?
And she'll usually go, oh, I'm sorry. And she'll stop. Yeah.
What he does is, Tempe, quit kicking my seat, like 82 billion times in the 5 minutes we're in the car. So, now he's not allowed to speak to Tempe in the car in the morning. Like, you literally, there's a wall. You cannot speak.
Right. You're not allowed to, yeah.
And
that's what we had to do. We had to compartmentalize everything. Just like, you know, the minute he starts it, like, nope, you can't do that. Go to your room. Go to this place. Go to your happy place. Go whatever, you know. And we do it with Temperance, too.
Yes. I enforce the rule with everybody that you're not the parent, you're not the rule enforcer, right. You're not the hall monitor, you are a kid, you have brothers, you have whatever, you cannot be the police.
Right.
And it's not your job, it's my job. And if I fail, because here's the big one, Ezra likes to catch it when I don't catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then rub it in my nose that I didn't catch it.
And he does it to me. He's done it to me a couple times. It's stopped since the most recent thing. But yeah, that drives me nuts. And I caught him doing that to you one time. And
he does it all.
No, I know. But the one time that I caught him, I don't even think he had realized it yet. And I didn't even say anything to him. I grabbed him by the fucking nap of his shirt and I drug him back to his bedroom and I sat him in there. I'm like, you don't get to call her out on shit like that. It is her decision. It is my decision on what we do and do not get you guys in trouble for. Because I just let this go that you just did. Want me to rail your ass for that? No. My good. Then shut up and stay in here until you can calm down. And that's what I'm defaulting to now with all the kids.
Yeah.
Fine. You want to be a dick? Go be a dick in your room.
Right.
Be a dick in your room all that you fucking want. You can sit there and just be a...
But I think that's something that our kids don't get a lot of. And it's partly because of how our evenings go. Is we don't... I remember as a kid spending a lot of time alone in my room, playing by myself, right. Reading with myself, you know, writing things down, just being on my own. And our kids don't do a lot of that. And part of it is their age and Ezra's getting better at that. But I'm trying to teach Tempe to have time alone in her room.
Yeah.
And then, but then also be, you know, when Trent comes in and he wants to play with you and he's being nice, encourage that. Don't just, you know, no boys allowed and shut them out. Like, you know. Other people have done to her, so
yeah it's interesting because I was the same way as a kid. I could go off and play and do my own thing. I didn't have to be with other people, but they're almost like it's like they need to be, you know. And I get everybody's different. There's some people that thrive in social situations, that's what they need. And there's others that are complete introverts and don't want any of that. And there's the people in the middle like me, which I can do either or.
Right. And I think that's a healthy way to be, is to be able to do either. What bothers me is the things like that never would have been allowed in when I was growing up. We didn't have Jody Wynn's toys and Jake's toys.
And see, that doesn't bother me because
but it was an unspoken thing. It wasn't like somebody came along and told us. It just was, it never would have been acceptable for somebody to say, that's mine, you can't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few exceptions to that general principle. And part of it was we were a little closer in age. So I've given a lot of allowances to say, hey, she can't just come into your room and melee it. She can't just come in and take anything she wants. And I'm not saying she gets to say, you know, this is, I'm taking this to my room for now. But I also feel like you can't say, this is mine, you can't touch it. You know, you can't say, this is off limit.
For me, it solely depends on what it is.
It depends on what it is. But like if the possessive attitudes of our kids in general really get to me. Like, there's Hot Wheels cars. We have like a billion Hot Wheels cars. Some are that were yours that you passed down.
Yeah.
Some that are given directly to Ezra or to Tempe or to Trent. A lot of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have tons. And there is no way to tell whose is whose except by their very flawed memory.
Right.
I have given it out that I think that they all can kind of belong to everybody. They can all go in the same place and they can all be played with. But every time I say that, people start squirreling them away. Mm-hmm. Specifically Ezra. He's like, no, that one's mine. I'm going to go take it in my room, you know?
Right.
And I just, that never would have ever passed muster.
Well, see, and for me, we had our own individual possessions. We were allowed to say that was ours. But if we didn't want them playing with it, there had to be a good reason for why. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't have a good reason, then my dad or my mom would be like, too bad, you need to share.
Right.
You could because you can't take away the ownership of something. Because that's a good thing to have too, is have pride in your ownership and have pride in what you, these right. things.
And I guess, like I said, this was never something that was spoken about.
No, I know.
It was just like, if I was playing with something and Jake came in and wanted to play with it, unless there was a good reason, like this is a porcelain doll.
Right.
Or whatever, then I had to share with him and I had yeah. to play, let him and play
that,
with it
that,
too.
That was the same expectation in my house.
And I still owned it. It's still my toy, right. but I couldn't claim, you know, exclusive rights.
Right. No, and that was, you know, and there was, like you said, there's always certain exceptions, and that's how it was with our place, too. But my sister and I were pretty close. Actually, my sister and I were about the same age difference Ezra and Temperance are. No? Pretty close. And didn't have those issues either. But the biggest thing with him is that we have to keep in mind, it's always hard to do, is just how shitty his siblings at his mom's house are to him over his own personal belongings. And so,
and I try, you know, right, that I right. try so hard to and make so, an allowance and to not just, yeah. not just enforce a rule, but to explain what the right. purpose is. And hey, do you want your, would you like it better if your other siblings treated you the way that I'm asking you to treat mm-hmm. your siblings, you know? And he always agrees that, you know, yeah, it'd be great if they did this and blah, mm-hmm. but he won't actually do it. And that's when I get like, you're acknowledging that it's a better way to do things, right. that it's the way you want to be treated, and you still won't do it.
Right.
Like, that's where we have the disconnect.
Yeah, and it's just something he's going to have to learn to do, because, and it's rough, and I get it. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot we can, it just keep got to keep harping on the whole situation about not doing it, because it is okay for them to have their own personal belongings that aren't somebody else's, but it's not okay for them to be possessive about everything that they have ever owned,
right?
And they never ever share. And so,
and you know, and you can always go to the well of, well, they're gonna break it. Well, there's always a chance of that, right. but we'll make it right one way or another,
right?
Things get broken in life. You can't just,
yeah, I can't. How many things in mine have you broke, you little shit? Exactly. Well, that's been the kind of conversation we've been having. Like the other day, there he was playing, you were gone, I was working from home. Trent had, I don't remember the entire scenario, but Ezra was downstairs playing video games with Trent. And I said, hey, look, if you do this for me, it'll be a solid. I'd really appreciate it. You're going to get a lot more video game time today than you ever would otherwise. And I'm going to totally look the other way, because you're going to have a lot of time than you should. But I've got to get these couple things done for work. You know, just do this for me, it'd be great. And he's like, okay, cool. And then he's down there, and then he starts doing the whole, damn it, Trent, you're not doing blah, blah, blah. And I was like, so I go downstairs, I'm like, what's the problem? Well, he's not over here. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're doing a mission right now in this game? Yeah? And what makes you think a mission with a three-year-old is an acceptable thing? It's going to actually work out. Well, I don't know. I'm like, well, I told you I want you to play with your little brother, which means if you don't think he's going to be able to complete a mission, which obviously he's not, you need to not do the mission then. But you're not going to sit here and be a dick to him and do these things. If you are, I'm going to make you drop out of the game. You can go sit in your room doing nothing. I'll let him keep playing. Oh. And so, you know, but we had to do that a couple times. And it was mm-hmm. like, and so finally I went down there. I'm like, what is the problem? He's like, well, it's just so frustrating because he won't do this and he won't listen, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, do you not remember Lego Batman and the hours upon hours upon hours of frustrating things where all you ever want to do, oh, look, Dad, I'm in the car. I'm driving a car, Dad. Yes, Ezra, but can you please come over here? Because I need you to be over here so I can do this thing in the game. But I'm in the car. I'm like, oh, that's awesome, buddy. You're driving a car. It's really cool. Can you just drive it over here, please? And he's like, but I'm in the car. I'm like, this is nothing you haven't done before. So just let it go, dude. Just don't let it, you know, if you're in a campaign by yourself, and he comes in and, like, mashes the controller, fine, tell me about it. I'll get corrected and move on. But if you're playing with him, you need to play with him at his level and not get irate over the fact that he's not able to do these certain things. I mean, it's a lesson we all have to learn when playing with kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, we finally got it all worked out. But it's just that whole...
The learning curve is steep when you're right. the oldest.
Right. But also
the youngest. But also the youngest at the other house.
Yeah. Well, not anymore, but yeah.
But you know what I mean. And even more so, now he's not the youngest over there. He's not getting the same amount of attention.
Yeah.
So he's got it rough. And I totally, believe it or not, can understand almost every level that he's the youngest at one place, the oldest at the other. I had that.
Yeah.
He's the, now he's got a baby at the one house where he used to be. I had that.
Mm-hmm.
That exact same thing. I had that.
Right.
You know, like all this stuff going on. I'm like, dude, I get you so hard. Like, I get this.
I could help you out if you would just fucking talk to me. Which is the ongoing, that's always the ongoing scenario we have. It's like, you know, if you talk to Jody about these things, she could help you through them because she lived them. I didn't. My parents are still together. You know, we just, it is what it is. We, you know.
And when I was going through what I was going through, I would have loved to have talked to somebody who had already been through it, who could say, no, there's totally light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
But he thrives on the what was me of it.
Right.
I think a little bit more.
And that is completely his mom. She just posted about how long she had, was it? I've been in traffic for an hour and a half and I haven't even made it 2 miles. I might just move to a state where there's traffic minimal, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, please. Please do me that favor. I would sign off on that 60-mile thing that we have in the divorce decree so fast if it meant that you would just get the frack out of my life. I'd keep him here. You could go to whatever, you know, beautiful island of peace that you think you can find that doesn't have traffic. And we'll set up some sort of thing where, like, once every couple months you can see each other. And oh, it would, 'cause I could just, it would be so much. I wouldn't have to do the biweekly trips to meet you to drop them off and all this other stuff. Yeah, go ahead, please do. But it was that whole "what was me" thing. You know what? I just got done sitting. I think it was the day I was driving back from Spokane. I'm like, I just spent 10 hours in the car for what should have been a 6-hour trip. So lick it. I don't care, you know, but shut up. But it's that "what was me" thing is something that she excels at. It's always, life is shitting on her and this is going wrong. And why can't I just catch a break and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, at some point in time, you need to own up that you're causing a lot of your own problems here. You're the root cause. It's like, throughout your life, if these things continue to happen to you, at what point do you start to realize that it's not everybody else always shitting on you? And that at times you are the one that's creating some of these problems. And that at times you are just creating a big ball of problems out of something that doesn't even exist just for the attention. And so that's the other problem I have is a lot of times is I can't go, like, you know, because I see a lot of that in him and I have to be able to point it out without doing what I would like to do with my ex, which is just scream at her about that kind of stuff. Because deep down, she's a sweet person.
Yeah.
She really is a sweethearted person. She just doesn't think. And that lack of mental capacity sometimes when she doesn't think problems through really bites her in the ass and bites everybody in the ass around her. And he does it too. By default, he's a good-natured, good-hearted kid. But he'll make certain decisions without even thinking about, like, the one time it was something with Halloween candy with you and him. Mm-hmm. And he was being just like Hitler about the candy. And, no, I'm not going to share with you. And I was like, the fuck is this from? Well, I just really liked it. And then this whole thing. And so there are times where I see his mother come out at him and I really want to just choke it out of him, but I can't because that's not the proper way to handle it. So it can be a tough balancing act for us as parents to try to not do what he's doing to us, which is take out our aggressions towards her on him.
Yeah.
You know, it's rough. So
all we can do is continue to try our best, which we do, but it's
the days get long sometimes.
It's kind of scary looking toward teenage years with that attitude.
But I'm having I'm having some similar fears with Temperance with her. Like, oh my gosh, she doesn't get her way. She stamps that little foot and that little fiery. Like, I don't want to put that fire out, but at the same time, I got to figure out how to create burn lines where, like, she won't go past a certain point because
I think we're getting there. She's getting better at that. And we're drawing some lines, and yeah. she's pushing up against them, but she's not going over. And the few times that she goes over, she feels really shitty about it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yep, it's
she almost always instantly knows she crossed. She looks at me, she goes, "I'm sorry, Mom."
Yeah. She got lit up a little bit at your parents' house last night. Her default right now is if you start trying to talk to her, she won't even listen. She just immediately tries to give you a hug and say she's sorry and runs off. Mm-hmm. And your stepdad's like, "Not you can't be sorry if you haven't heard me yet. Stand up and listen." And pulled her away. He's like, "No hugs till we're done." And she starts getting all like misty eyed and whatnot. He's like, "Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, go, you know, do it. Get her. I was going to say the same damn thing. I'm like, you need to wait and listen. Make sure that you actually know what you're being sorry for, because he could be blaming you for killing the cat right now and you didn't actually do it, but you're going to say I'm sorry for it anyways.
Just I was the same way. No. It's not that. See, you're misreading. All right, because I was the same way. Like, you feel so bad that you've done something. You realize you did something, and you're even if you're not sure what, your instant mode is, "I'm sorry. I please forgive me."
Right.
And that's your instant default reaction to any kind of call out. And I was the same way. You can ask my dad. I would admit to stuff I had no part in just to be forgiven for it.
Right. Which is what I'm trying to avoid with her. So. Yeah, so it's been an interesting couple of weeks. If everybody keep their fingers crossed, positive vibes, prayers, whatever you do, you know, it's all good that we get the house. It would really be appreciated. We'd really like to have a place we own. That'd be so awesome. And we also, Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or Happy Holidays or, you know, Kwanzaa or whatever the hell it is. However you get down this time of year is totally cool. And I hope you have a good time doing it. And, you know, just from all of us here, we love our listeners, and we hope you guys enjoy this holiday season and however you decide to spend it, celebrate it, whatever. If you want to Netflix and chill, that's cool. I mean, whatever you do, it's all good. Just do it. You know, don't get all bent out of shape because somebody wants to be, you know, say one thing versus the other. Just chill.
Honestly, I think more people are making a thing out of it than there actually are people making a thing out of it. Like, most of the time, I'm just hearing Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas or whatever and saying it, you know, same to you. Or my favorite thing to do right now, somebody says Merry Christmas, I go, "Happy Hanukkah." I'm not Jewish, but I just want to throw something out there. Like, hey.
Yeah. So I hope everybody and their families enjoys their holiday time together. Hopefully, you can guys take a day off and do the fun present thing and spend some time with family. And
we really are going to do the Christmas traditions episode
talk about it after the fact to see how it all goes. Yeah.
So, cause that was supposed to be this week.
Right. It just kind of this whole house thing has totally turned everything upside down.
Yeah.
Between last week and this week, the whole house thing happened.
This was a really ranty episode.
It happens.
I'm just saying, like,
it's all good. So, if you want to contact us, you can email us grounded@badparentingpodcast.com. You can see our website is badparentingpodcast.com. You want to leave a voicemail, it's 503-609-0375. Otherwise, you can send emails to either Jody or myself just by using our first name at badparentingpodcast.com. Facebook, I almost said MySpace. That would have been bad. Instagram, Twitter, you can find us on there as well. And thank you again to The Mediocre Show and Frank and Eric specifically for much love to us on the last episode they did. We love you guys and hope you all have a very, very Merry Christmas or Happy holiday season. And until next time, try not to be shitty parents.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Bad Parenting Podcast, a conversational show about all aspects of parenting, the good, the bad, and the smelly.
It's out there now. Here it goes.